It is Tuesday, and therefore speaking about it safer, but I want to do it a little bit differently today, if that is okay. We've been going through, on one level, different Sfarim, commentaries, and Shulchan Aruch, but I wanted to take a one-week break from that. So Matsyahu Solomon, Zecher Tzadik, the great Mashgiach of originally Gateshead and then Lakewood, passed away last week. And I thought it would be appropriate to share an insight about his Sfarim that I heard in some of the Hespedim and saw in print when people were writing about him. It's a fascinating Mahalach. And it's one that I want to give a couple examples of what I think is the godless of Matsyahu. They pointed out in some of the Hespedim and some of the speaks, two different Yesodos that I think are relevant. Again, we'll try to bring Mekoros from some of his Sfarim to point this out. One is that he had this unique ability to speak to different age groups and different populations in ways that were relevant for them. Sometimes you have a phenomenon of a very big Talmid Chacham that speaks to everyone as if they are Lamdanim, you know, even when he's speaking to like the three-year-old, whatever, and he's, you know, quoting Chazon Ish or things like that, and sometimes it doesn't really work. The godless of Matsyahu Solomon was he had this amazing capacity to speak to different groups based on where they were. The second ha'ara that they made about him, which I think is clear in a lot of his Sfarim and a very, very important yisod, is the following. Rav Matsyahu was... the world of Musar and Machshava has had varying degrees of popularity amongst people who learn Gemara Be'ian, the world of Lamdas, very, very seriously. On the one hand, many of us are, I'm sure, aware of the fact that in the early days of the Musar movement, there was a lot of opposition in the world of Balazs and other worlds in terms of incorporating Musar. But even once the Musar movement sort of got in, and like the idea of learning Musar is more or less Makubal, there are many who don't invest that much time into it, that many that don't spend that much time engaged in it. One of the things that Matsyahu Solomon did was, and this is important, he really brought to the world of Lakewood, the world is not filled with real Bali Musar. The Talmud of Relay Lopian, the world is not filled with real, real intense Bali Musar, and he brought to Lakewood a particular chashivas of the limud of Emunah and Musar, the limud of Machshava, in a way which was very important. He gave vadim there in Lakewood, but a lot of his shmuzin were very important. The reason why they were popular, because this is on a couple different places, was the following, I think, very sharp observation. People who learn with a particular rigor and methodology when they sit down and they learn a sugya, so when they hear a Musar shmuz and it's a little bit more simplistic or it's a very, very different kind of a style, sometimes it doesn't resonate or stick the same way. That the kind of depth that I see when I learn Gemara is different when suddenly I'm learning Musar and it feels more simplistic. It doesn't feel like a lima the same way. And one of the praises of Matsyahu Solomon was that when he would give a shmuz to the B'nai Yeshiva, to the B'nai Torah in Lakewood, as part of knowing the crowd, he was able to give over that Musar with the same sort of sensitivity to Diyukim, the same kind of analysis and lumdus in topics of Musar and Machshava, to make it relevant for sure, to make it Nogeya L'maisa for sure, but to do it in a way that was packaged, that a Ben Torah who hears it is just taken by the level of lumdus, by the level of Torah, which is taking place there. I'll give you an example of it, because I think it's a good one. This is the Rambam writes in Hilchos Brachos, Kol Shel Davar LeOlam Yitzak Adam Al HaAsid Lavo, that it's always good to pray to Dav Ribono Shel Olam for what should be in the future. Lavo Vivakish Rachamim, to be able to Dav and Kosh Baruch Hu, it's not so great right now. We want things to be better going forward. V'yode V'yitein Hoda'a Al Masha Avar, and to thank the Ribono Shel Olam for that which was, for that which was. Matsyahu pointed out, and this is part of the why the Lamdan can connect, an amazing diyuk in Rambam. And this diyuk in Rambam is a really interesting one. Rambam writes, you should always daven towards the future, to pray for the Kesh Baruch Hu, and to give hodah on the Avar. Points out Matsyahu Solomon, chronologically, I would have thought to do the opposite. I would have thought you should first thank Hashem for the past, and then you should daven for the future. Why does the Rambam reverse the order? Why does the Rambam present it in terms of davening for the future and then saying Hashem for the past? L'chora, it's out of order. Etzem that already, if you're the same Rambam that you make diukim in Hilchos Shchinim, who's making diukim in Hilchos Brachos, but ones that are relevant. He has a couple suggestions as to what is going on here, but he has two ha'aris here that I think are interesting about this. One is for the following reason. He says the Rambam's trying to teach us that even when you are davening towards the future, things aren't so great right now, and I'm davening for a better future, we want to be people that even when we confront that reality, we're still big enough to be Makir Tov for the good things Hashem Baruch Hu did for us in the past. That even as I'm davening to Hashem Baruch Hu, can you please make this good? It's an Eis Tzara, but I'm not small. I'm able to say Hashem Baruch Hu, even after I've davened for that, there are still small things that are really There's a lot of good things that they've done for me in the past. Further, says Rav Matzah Solomon, it's all part of the way you're supposed to daven. If I say to Rabbanu Shel Olam, you please help me out, and I thank you so much for everything you've done, I'm making a statement that I'm the kind of person, and this improves the quality of tefillah, that when I daven to Rabbanu Shel Olam, because Baruch Hu knows, if I get what I need, I'm going to be continuing to be moda, I'm going to continue to appreciate all that you give me. Because Baruch Hu is more likely to give something to someone if they're going to be mamshich lehodos ulehalel for the good that they happen to receive, for the good that they were able to get. And that sense, it comes in many ways just from that kind of a diuk in Rambam, which stems from something else, which the Torah has in the Matnas Chaim and Kinyanim, the following idea, which I think relates to it. One of the reasons why you can analyze a text very, very closely, it demands a form of emunas chachamim. That the Rashba didn't just write what he wrote and then he moved on. The Rashba wrote it with a certain kind of sensitivity and a godlift. The people knew what they were doing and to weigh the significance of their words. People speak a lot about how great the Talmid Chachamim were. To strengthen our belief in the wisdom in these chachamim, that what they write is real. If we know what's going on here, who these people were, and the mesorah that they have, as the Gemara says in Sukkah about Yonatan ben Uziel, that he would learn, and birds would fly over him. It would burn because of his kedusha. That is also that we can know. To work really hard to appreciate, understand what they're saying in the world of Lundus and in the world of Machshava, kind of analysis, because these were great people. They were able to speak in a very, very precise way, and it demands a certain form of analysis. He does, and he also spoke about a lot. This may not be true. The right shmuz is different for different communities or different stages of life. He speaks a lot about how, you know, I wouldn't want a program of limud emuna, of lots of questions, especially with kids who are younger. Emuna pshuta and real yerushamayim, that's considered to be the ikar, and identifying the right group for the way to do it. But this ability to speak dafka to b'nei Torah and to b'nei Torah in that kind of a way, that's something which can really resonate for many. In that sense, there's often a gap a little bit between like a Musar Seder and an Ian Seder, and there needs to be a bit of a gap for everyone. Because in Ian, I may talk about the lemaisa of Asuke Shmaisa Liba de Hilchasa. I may speak about the lemaisa as far as, you know, what this means in this halachic thing. When it comes to the world of Musar, it's about the lemaisa in terms of what I'm supposed to do, what I'm supposed to do differently. What Matzah Solomon, I think, in many ways represented was that the same kind of hard work that you put into a Ramban in the morning, I put into an Igeres Ramban in the afternoon. The same kind of hard work that I would put into a Ramban in Hilchos Shchein, I put into a Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva and a Rambam in Hilchos Deyos, and that if you understand that well, it can lead and bring out insights that are really going to resonate even more. That the quality and the midah of being able to praise Hashem, and even, you know, when things are terrible, and be the kind of person that makes a statement of, I'll praise when it works out, I'm going to be there. Those kinds of things come, Diyukim, and he has, again, that same piece, a bunch of just like fantastic ha'aras in Rambam there, which are not going through all of it, but a lot of that is immensely, immensely powerful for the way in which you learn. There are those that love the model of Musar, which is very different than that, but there are many for whom the model of Matzah Solomon is particularly important. He has some Sfarim of Ma'amarim, like longer Ma'amarim, and he has some Sfarim where there were Vadim he gave on different Sfarim, where he just has Ha'aras and elaborates on those particular Sfarim, but it's certainly good and valuable to be aware of the Torah of Matzah Solomon, and all that he did.